and what the Rabbanon did in order to prevent an Isur Hotzor b'Shabbos. Pick up the Gemara. Let's get a volunteer to say the Gemara again, and then we'll. Let's start again from the way the story went. Remember, a baby was born. They had to make a bris on Shabbos, and Absalom and Moel forgot to leave his knife, his sakin, the chalif, and therefore they decided to deliver the knife derech chaseros, kalfifos, in a circuitous route, right, not to the Rishus HaRabim. Had they been Talmidim of Rabbi Elezer, they would have carried their wife Megula in the Rishus HaRabim. Because the way we understand Rabbi Elezer Shita is the dechia of Mila the Shabbos is not duchuyo, but it's hutro. And therefore, whatever you do for Mila, Shabbos does not impose any restrictions. I called your attention to it, that a similar machlokas really exists here, of course, as a dual machlokas. One, is it really hutro? And number two, does it apply to machshiri mila, only to be latzmo? There, the rabbanon ultimately decided it applies only to mila atzmo, so that Rabbi Eliezer was wrong anyway. And not only was he wrong about unnecessarily causing a chilul Shabbos as part of chedivus hamitzvah, but was wrong on the Reise halacha, namely that he was over on Isur the Reise carrying, if he would listen to him, carried in Rishus HaRabim, right? When it's not the Iko Milo, it's only Machshiri Milo. But there is a Rab Shimon. And these people, whoever Paskin the Shaila, carried a knife derech chaseros kafifos, right? They followed the psak of Rab Shimon. Okay. Every gentleman, you want to pick up the Gemara there from Rab Shimon? Ela Birton de Rab Shimon. Got it? About 10, 12 lines from the top.
They went according to the Raton of Rabbi Shimon. As we learned, Rabbi Shimon says between whether it's gagot, roofs,
okay,
or karfifot.
You got to have a clear image or a clear concept. Shalom, quote Arav. Okay. A clear mental image or rather psychological picture of what Chasamim had, what they had to deal with. They wanted to hear again, mimazbil is critical. For, or you get this straight in your head, you can almost make sense of it. Right? Remember, there's you have the mesechtes that are mesechtes oni. Okay, erevin nida yevamos. So nida we taught last year. Yevamos, I understand we're teaching next year. And erevin we can't escape. We're learning Hilchos Shabbos. You can't escape erevin either. Okay, you want to prove that they're right? Just realize it's a little harder than most sugis to fathom. The easiest way to understand this is break up your rishuyos in relation to a sense of privacy. Okay. The key gzera was to move from private domain to public domain. That's the deraisa. What you call public domain is psychological as well. That's where the Chazal came in. They gave a psychological definition of public domain at variance with the halacha. The halacha doesn't call it that way. Halacha calls Rishus HaRabim like Rishus HaRabim. Right? We have now Bizman HaZeh, we have problems defining what is Rishus HaRabim. My town in Muncie has no Rishus HaRabim. Okay? According to most poskim, you need Shishim Ribo, you need 600,000 people. According to most poskim, you need that the street should be Tezvovamo. It's narrow streets, not. So when it's all said and done, we don't have Rishus HaRabim Daraisa except in here in Manhattan. Right? Manhattan, you have Shishim Ribo, it's Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. And that's the Geos to. I mentioned that last week, that if you want to go ahead and make it into a Rishus HaYochid, right, you want to put up an Eruv, according to most Shittas, that's how my Shreel, that's how Paskin, you can't do it in the Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. You cannot convert it to a Rishus HaYochid by making two phony mechitzos, two halachic mechitzos. What's halachic mechitzo? A goalpost. Lechim izeh, velechim izeh, vekor al gabay. That's a real mechitza, daraisa. If you were really a firm fellow and you walked through such a goalpost, you should feel a bump in your head. Right? Because it's really a solid mechitza. Ah, you don't see it that way. That's your problem. The Rambam held for making Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid. You can make a mechitzos, but you need. To make a non Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaYochid, basically we're dealing with a Carmelist. I want to leave the Rishus HaRabim Daraisa out for a minute. Dealing with a Carmelist. Right? You all know what that is? Okay. It doesn't know what it is. It doesn't know whether it's Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim. That's how you remember. Right? It doesn't know what it is. Why? It doesn't meet the standards of Rishus HaRabim, Shishim Ribo, Tesorama, right? But a lot of people hanging around there. So it doesn't look like a Rishus HaYochid. So the Rabbanan said, we treat that like a Rishus HaRabim. And then you have to make your mechitzos. According to the Rambam, you need two mechitzos real and two mechitzos halachic. Okay. The two tzuras of Pesach is enough, but you can't use four tzuras of Pesach. The Rambam says you can use all four tzuras of Pesach. Halacha was accepted like the Rambam. In most places, they, unless you studied with Rav Yoshe Be'er Zatzal, you carry a mechitza that has four tzuras of Pesach. If you study with him, you have to find yourself two mechitzas. Okay? Whether you can make even, according to the Rambam, two solid mechitzos and two tzuras of Pesach in a real Rishus HaRabim, my Shver Zatzal held, no, you cannot. Shusharabim cannot be nital with anything. Never even said that, but that's how we paskin. That's how I paskin, I'm sorry. That if you have four mechitzos, you can do it even though Shusharabim daraisa. That's why I made the Eruv on Lincoln Square, for Lincoln Square from 64th to 90th. Now, since then, they've expanded it, and I don't know what's after that. But that's an interesting story. I should bring in some of the correspondence on that one with the city department, what kind of tzoros we had to do even that. I wanted to put up four mechitzos. In Washington Heights, in this area, do you have any place where there's solid mechitzos?
In the Heights?
Of course. Your tenement houses. You walk along the street, on two sides, what do you have? Six-story mechitzos, 10-story mechitzos, solid mechitzos.
But they're not solid all the way through.
Sure they are. Every house abuts the other house.
Even if they have mevulot, even if they have alleyways in between them,
you don't see alleyways in Washington Heights. There were alleyways you wouldn't go to anyway, because like that's where they sell the drugs.
Not actual alleyways, but like separations between the houses, between the buildings.
Yeah, there were alleyways. Sheer, how big, etc. Less than ten amos is not an alleyway. But no problem. The fact is that throughout New York you have two solid mechitzos, but they're not abutting each other down either side. And how do you get to them? Okay. So, the mechitza we put up for Lincoln Square, it ran from Riverside Drive. You people know the area a little bit? Know where that is? No. No, Riverside Drive is, you know where the highway is? You go along the highway, that's Riverside Drive. And they have the park area the whole distance. There. And the park area has a wrought iron fence the whole distance. That's a wonderful mechitza. Central Park South, Central Park West. Central Park West has the Central Park, and there's a stone fence that runs along the street.
Yeah, but it breaks up at the crosses, though. The stone breaks up at the crosses of the
right,
park.
It breaks up at the crossing, and in many areas it's not 10 tefachim high. It has to be at least 36 inches high. So we solve that problem, we had no problem with that one, by digging out the earth behind the fence in the park, so that it will be 10 tefachim high. Hello. I'm showing my middle of a shiur. Yeah, anyway, it's here. Yes. No problem. But the boys are happy to be disturbed. No problem. That was easy to dig out a foot or two of soil behind, and no one objected to it. That you had to deal with the city for all this stuff, because when you're all said and done, you need city permission to own all the streets. Again, try to get a little more erev and halachas in. If there's a goy involved, you can't make a mechitza. You can't make an erev. The way you can make an erev is if you buy his property and it all belongs to a Jew. So you have to buy all the city streets and have all the goyim use the streets by your permission. It's not easy to sell that to a goyish mayor.
So how'd you get the city to consent?
But if you have a little bit political assistance, like you promise him that you'll vote for him next time, right? It works out. It all sometimes costs also a case of scotch, but That's all doable.
What isn't there something with the Rambam that says in addition to the two mechitzot you also need a closing gate or something?
No. We'll get to that, and I'm up to that now. Okay. Right now we have our Eruv. On one side we have a stone fence from Central Park West, right? On the other side you have a wrought iron fence from the Riverside Drive Park, right? And then when we look, you realize that there are about 11 blocks in which the fence was stolen. Right? No fence. No one knows what happened to it, but it's not there. So we had to put up a fence. So the park department insisted that the fence be identical to the fence that goes most of the way. But nobody makes that identical fence anymore. That fence was made in the 1914, 1916, around there. So we had to have a company at great expense, and Lincoln Square was prepared to pay for it, ran into hundreds of thousands of dollars at Mechitza to make a wrought iron fence exactly the same shape, the Fitchkin, cool cues, all the shtick that the old days, all fences were made ornamentally. Finally got the fence up. Now we got a problem. All he got is two mechitzes. How do you get across the street? Now, how do you cross the avenues now? The streets were covered going from 64, 65, 66, 78, you know, yeah, fine, we have mechitzes. But you gotta go, of course, Amsterdam Avenue, Broadway, etc., etc. There we use an etzer from the Avnei Nezer. And that is Dalsos Horuyos Linol Balailo. If I have an open area, but a gate, I open it up for people to go through. I have a gate that closes. That's a mechitza. It's a mechitza even when it's open. You with us?
But it has to be closed every once in a while. Or in old city, in Beiratika, they had to close the gates to the city.
Antwerp has such a mechitza. Someone told me they went to look for it. And it's buried in cement. It's a long, long time ago. Nevertheless, they still call it a mechitza. So what we did is can't believe he lived through all that. By the way, Rabbi Brander was the rabbi at the time. And then after Brander, he left and Rabbi the P with Rabbi who's also now in something organizationally is Robin in Queens Rabbi Penner came in after we finished the mechitza under his reign. So we designed a wall made of a post and 4-inch wide plastic ribbons. If you go in that area, you'll see attached to the traffic light post lampposts, sometimes traffic lights, there's a cylinder strapped around it. In that cylinder is a pull-out wall. And once a year, usually 2 o'clock in the morning, we close the streets to show that it's an active mechitza. Side issue, you go across an avenue. This is Green Thumb Erevin. Whatever you're going to pull across is going to sag. And it's hard to get it to be above 36 inches. So DuPont, major manufacturer of plastics, had to design a special plastic, had to construct a special plastic that has less sag than regular plastic. And that cost a fortune too. But they wanted it. Lincoln Square is in an area where they needed the mechitza. People all live in that area, and you have to understand what a real public service a mechitza is nowadays. You have Borsham families with little children. You have to wheel a carriage. You have to carry a baby. It's not easy to live. That's why they put up a mechitza here. They put up an Erev here in around Washington Heights. I don't know what the Erev is doing now, but if some of you may remember, it was a big battle between myself and Rav Shechter. I insisted on the pull-out walls. He wanted to be matter without it. I wouldn't sign off on the mechitza, so we had to put it. Why did he need my signature? Because he knew if I didn't sign off, I'd be introducing every shiur with a criticism of the mechitza.
You still have the whole Breuer's community on the other side of Broadway that will not hold by any of the mechitzos in the area.
That's
right. But can you...
The Breuer, Lubavitch, they have it. Mechitzos... They've been burnt enough times to be worried. Meaning the mechitza goes up, it stays down. I mean, the mushal around Beit Began and Yerushalayim, there are three mechitzos. I don't use your mechitza. Then I won't use your mechitza either. I'll make my own. You know. Okay.
But now in Manhattan, I think the Erev extends from Riverside Boulevard to First Avenue on the east side.
Yeah.
Is that even... That's... This current status of the Manhattan Erev, do you...
Take any credit for it. But all the years that we ran from 64 to 90, that was a nice tight Erev. Then it seems what happened is that the population, the people began to buy... condominiums out of that area, and they needed to expand it, but I didn't want to take any more credit for that one.
Was there a psak by Rav Moshe that Broadway was Meshulish and therefore you couldn't make a Erev over Broadway or something like that?
That is Mefulish.
Mefulish.
Meshulish is for Hadassim. If it's a shusarabim, but if you put up a mechitza, you can't use a tzuras haPesach for that reason. You have to use a mechitza. mechitza. We know that mechitzas work. How do I know mechitzas work? I mean, I want you to know that psak that we use the mechitzas for shusarabim daraisa, you know, from Yerushalayim. Most of the time was Avada Rishus Rabim Daraisa, right? And they made a gzera you can't carry in Yerushalayim, right? Even though it had mechitzas all around, because people come from all over Eretz Yisrael, all over the regel, and the kids will be trained for, they come all over the regel, they even come for one day and bring a korban and run home. They went on vacation already in Yerushalayim. Remember, it was free vacation. Because Yerushalayim, they couldn't charge you for hotel rooms. Yerushalayim was not divided up among the shvatim. So everybody owned Yerushalayim. So everyone was a part owner of Yerushalayim. So they didn't charge for hotel rooms. So people stayed. Right? So they were afraid that they would train themselves to carry in Yerushalayim and never go home and continue to carry on Shabbos. Therefore, they made a gzera, you shouldn't carry Yerushalayim. But from there, we know that we're not for the gzera. The Dalet Mechitzos helped for Rosh Hashanah, but that was the basis of the why I said we can go with Dalet Mechitzos, even though we wouldn't go with a Tzuras HaPesach. I want you know, for years there was an Erev in Midtown, but no one could find it. For years, people carried with an Erev that ran along a railroad, an old railroad track down there, so on. And so supposedly, when I came, they told me there's an Erev. I took the people who, all the Rabbonim who knew about the Erev, and Nilam disappeared. Couldn't find it. That's part of the problem of practical rabbinics. You people who want to be a rabbonim, it's nice to make an Erev. It's important to make an Erev. The famous Shuvah of Sam Sofer, if you have money to build a mikveh or to make an Erev, which comes first? So you say, well, mikveh is iso nida, is a iso kores, no. Iso nida, let him travel to another mikveh. But Erev, he says, you need for every single Shabbos, for everybody, men, women, and child. Therefore, he says, Erev comes first. It's something to prevent the Yisurim, Erev is the best. That's why there's a duty on a Rov and a Tal to make sure he has an Erev. Otherwise, people will violate Taloch. There's no doubt about it. They have to make an Erev, but then it's a very critical part of practical rabbinics to get clear in Hilchos Erev. That's very, very important.
Is the Rebbe familiar with the situation in Brooklyn?
Okay. Now I came to Brooklyn. So I came to Brooklyn, they came to my shrel for how to design an Erev for Brooklyn. He said, you can't do it. It's a Shosham Daraisa. Because he held that the bridge that connects Brooklyn and Manhattan, it doesn't make it into a separate territory. It's one unit. And therefore, you can't do it. We checked up, we went to the electrical company, went to the police records, see how many people, and there were more than Shishim Ribo, and we knew that. So, and the avenues, Ocean Parkway, Coney Island Avenue, and so on, all foolish, all the way down to Coney Island, there. So it's real Shusaram the Reise.
Was it foolish?
Open.
On both sides?
Straight line, open.
Well, I believe they have, from the little that I understand of it, I believe they have three Eruvim there also.
Oh, first of all, you understand, there you have one of the most unique situations where all the Chassidim carry and all the YU boys don't. Okay. Chassidim accepted the Erev. It's a point like Rabbi Lezer de Mille. It's a point of Chavivus HaErev, right? To demonstrate that you do carry. Every now and then you see a picture in the paper of clean-shaven people walking with their children on Shabbos on one side of the street, right? And on the other side of the street you see Hasidim carrying a talis, wheeling a carriage. They every now and then one of the newspapers shows the picture. That right now I think it's so strong a barrier they don't intermarry anymore. If you're an Erev carrier, you can't intermarry with a non-Erev carrier. Okay. Yeah. Well,
my in-laws down live in Brooklyn, so I'm constantly confused by. I think the Sephardim don't hold by it. The Hasidim do. Some of the Ashkenazim do, and some of the Ashkenazim don't. So there's one Erev that was built by the Ashkenazim. Then there's another one that is, I think, at least for a certain small area, is deoraita, that the Sephardim will hold.
Will hold, right.
In only a certain area, but I didn't understand why that was.
Because they worked out four mechitzos.
Four solid mechitzot?
Yeah. I remember meeting with, I don't call his name, Choshev's father, Sharov, worked out there they had, but it's really a small area, maybe like 10 or 12 block, square block area, that's all. Where he's able to work out four mechitzos.
Okay. I mean, that means four real walls? Not notzor at the petach or goalposts at all?
No. Partly with the delos ha'ruos nilos v'alayla. Well, the short area is able to do it. It's a good, great, it's a good thing to do. I say you don't want to use the eruv, don't use the eruv. But you really prevent people from doing yisurim. It's really a major contribution to be able to have an eruv. That's why when I moved to Muncie, when I became rov in Muncie, right? I moved to Muncie in 1960. I became rov in 1965. The first thing we did was make an eruv. Yeah. Because I saw my people all wheeling baby carriages under some kind of phony heterum that they allowed themselves imported from Borough Park. Okay, clear so far. Alright. Now let's go back to the Hashkofa. Yeah. Chazal were concerned with the psychological impact of your carrying from your private property outside your private property, that this would lead you to carry into Rishus HaRabim as well. So you had to have two requirements, really, to worry, two psychological components to this concern. One, it should be your private property. Two, what you're doing is moving it to a non-private property. Not a public property, that would be the Reise. But non-private, they said, is also should be also, because from non-private, you're going to move it into Rishus HaRabim. What's non-private? I move from my house to your house is non-private. I move from my house to the Movi, to the Karet outside, even though it's not nearly Rishus HaRabim outside. It's a private alleyway, not Shaykh Shishibribo, without the size of the street of Tesfavamo and so on. Right? But the fact is, that street is used by many people. Therefore, it smells like Rishus HaRabim. So they made exactly. You can't carry from there to there. Then comes the next step, which is where we're up to. What if I have in the Mobile, in the alleyway, we have some chairs, it's a nice place. There's no garbage pails there. It's kept clean, right? A nice sunny day. You leave your lawn chairs out there. Can I move the lawn chair? The lawn chair out there, right? What's the lawn chair? People come, the family gets together, friends move over. So you move your chair to the right, move to the left. Can I move the chair there? They said, well, I don't see the psychological concern here. You're not moving from a private to a more to a less private, from private to a public. You, wherever it is, that's where it is. When the thing was in the Movi from the Erev Shabbos on, I didn't move it from my house into the Movi. It's been in the Movi. Move in the Movi, I don't see that crossing over a psychological barrier from private to less private. That's the key to understanding our Gemara. Therefore, I would ask her, you're taking something from the knife in this case, from your house into the Movui. Aye, the Movui is only the Rabbonan. No. We ask her that. But to carry the knife that was in the idiot Moel left his bag in the Movui. Oh, fine, you left it in the Movi, so I'll carry it. The Movi I can carry. The same attitude can be applied to areas which are less private, meaning where you don't maintain your sense of privacy, such as your yards or your rooftops. In those days where the rooftops obviously also served as a means of access to further place, further down the road, they walked along the rooftops fine. I think we passed that period of time, but not so long ago there was one of these things that teenagers do was from jumping from roof to roof. Not roofs that touch each other, but roofs that were a little bit separate from each other. Yeah. What is it? Racing cars. 90 miles an hour on city streets at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the side of machismo, it's a sign of gvura that you're willing to risk your life, right? Haven't seen it, till I've been up in that area a long time. But my Shrezatzal had a camp. See, I'm still in there in Kerhangson, in the Catskill Mountains, not far away. And one of the routes, one way to get there, there were two ways to get there. And one way was a very scenic route, took a little longer scenic route. And we always went there with the scenic route, because along the road there, you had people doing hang gliding. And the kids loved to see, each one impressed by the Sadama Sugar, who stands at the edge of a cliff and jumps off the cliff. That way, it's most likely Isu the Reise to do so. It's also to Masake de Satsuro, you can't do that. Yeah. But anyway, so they walk along the roofs with a little sakona, less sakona, no. This is what he says. You know what the case was? This is about a famous case developed. Right. I just got to writing, I told you something on this brain death business. So, those are the opponents to accepting brainstem death as halachic death, cite Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi, the famous case of the chicken without a heart, where a maidservant came to the Chacham Tzvi. She opened up a chicken, and there's no heart in the chicken. And therefore, is the chicken kosher or treif? So he goes through a long tshuva, right? He comes to the conclusion it cannot be. That it can't be a chicken without a heart. The most likely the cat got it when she wasn't looking. Right. But in the process, he also says that the heart is the essential for life. And that's what they cite against brain death. That as long as the heart is beating, it's just the person's alive. Yeah, they never read the whole tshuva. The bottom tshuva says, why is the heart essential for life? Because the heart has a function of cooling the air. It shouldn't be too hot when it gets to the lungs. When people cite such tshuvas, begin to question what's in their mind. Obviously, he didn't know about Harvey's circulation. He didn't know that the heart's involved even pumping blood. He was pumping air. Yeah. So why would you cite him on a halacha l'maisa? But that's like when you play a game, right? You find words that it's a word game. Like, oh, heart, life. Okay. But you're supposed to look a little further down. The trouble is that he makes that statement at the end of the tshuva. And the tshuva is four solid pages long. So nobody ever got to the end of the tshuva. That's it.
I mean, in general, we state fairly with fair certainty that all the Rabbanim and presumably also the Rambam that talked about these things didn't know about the life function. So, you know, are we to write them all off out of Halacha Maisa?
Say the what?
Are we to write all the Avamaram and the Tanam and the Gemara and the Rishonim, etc., all off from the Halacha Maisa on this issue because they didn't know anything about the Yimavari?
Whatever information they used that proves to be faulty, you discount, of course. Remember, the key moko is Rav Shchiroi Goron in Gittin Samaches, right? Where he says in Hebrew, Chachameinu heim velo rofeinu. When he speaks about refuah, he says, Ela masher chozur bizmanehem. They report what they saw in their time. They don't claim any special knowledge. And since all their knowledge came from Hippocrates and Galen, like the Rambam says, these were the Gedolim that taught them all medicine. If Hippocrates and Galen made a mistake, we also make a mistake.
Is there even a need to fit our brain death into the Mishnayos of which talk about the signs of death anymore? Or they couldn't have known about our brain death and they wouldn't have believed in it. It doesn't matter to us.
We don't fit our brain death into anything.
We define
the halachic realities according to the Masorah. What the Mishnah says, that becomes binding. The Mishnah says, Hutas Rosho, if he take off his head, right, he's metame be'ohel right away.
And therefore
we know that even though the heart is beating, he's metame be'ohel right away. If you cut a guy's head off, the heart will keep on beating for a while. Yet he's metame be'ohel immediately. Mm-hmm. So that's how we infer from the Mishnah to the modern Shailas.
But is there a need to infer it from the Mishnah? Meaning the Mishnah could just as easily and probably did not know about brain death.
Again,
therefore there's no reason to put it in the Mishnah, and we could just say it now and say the Mishnah was wrong. The Mishnah didn't know about it.
Again.
And it seems almost like we're trying to the Mishnah, it putting it back in.
But the Mishnah knew about medical facts is irrelevant. The Mishnah records first and foremost what Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu told them. That becomes the fact of life. That's not open to question. Now, you want to go ahead.
Maybe what Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe was that the heart warms up the air. I don't understand. Or cools the air, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know why we draw the line.
Oh, why? Because I have an assumption that Kodesh Baruch Hu knows how we made man. Kodesh Baruch Hu really knew how. Yeah, he didn't have to wait for me to tell him what the heart does, or for Harvey to tell him.
Why do we?
That's a clear distinction you have to make between our Masorah, which is infallible, right? That's based upon halacha. Now we have to fit your knowledge into the Masorah. Right now we have a problem. The problem is that I can cut a man's head off. I can. He showed that in an experiment with a pregnant sheep, cut his head off, and his blood pressure won't change. He's on a ventilator anyway. The fact remains, as I said many times, that it would be better if someone is brain dead and he signed a donor card. It would be better if you cut his head off, because the lysine, the brain, begins to dissolve and issues and gives off a neurotoxin that paralyzes the heart. So anyone who signed a donor card, and you can use him for a donor, as soon as he's declared brain dead, you should cut his head off. The only trouble is, then the nurses won't know how to take his temperature. Okay.
Rabbi.
Okay. I'd like to do a little bit of Gemara today. Yeah.
I mean, it's an issue we've touched on many different angles. Where if you had to put a line and say, which parts of the Mishnah do we say are infallible, and they're the words that Hashem told Moshe, and which parts of the Mishnah are very fallible, and they're based on Gelan and Hippocrates?
How many times have I told you?
I mean, whenever the wrong we say it's Gelan and Hippocrates, never the right, whenever we don't know, we say it's
Moshe. I told you many times
words.
Already. What I tell you is the infallible part. I mean that seriously. We have a Masorah. That Masorah is solid, 100%.
But 100 years ago it was also infallible.
Never. That's only idiots made the confusion between the Masorah and the science of the time. We always get, Shlomo warns you. They have a Masorah, but logo feinu. Don't tell me what they taught you about medicine and so on. That they only learned from Galen and Hippocrates. And Galen and Hippocrates didn't have smicha. Okay, let's go. That clear distinction, that should be clear in your mind at all times. No, don't blame us for Asher Piyim Dibershov V'Yemina Yemin Shokir. I don't only mean that intentional lying. Yes, there was intentional lying. You look at the Galen's writings. Yeah, he lied. Things that don't exist he spoke about. A mouse, half earth, half the spontaneous generation. It's not our, not from our Masorah. We don't know.
But do we have any reason to believe that any of the things, both things that do make sense and the things that don't make sense, that any of their statements about the time of death are based on things that it says in the Torah? Or maybe the Torah has nothing to say. The Torah doesn't comment anything about time of death, and it's all based on what they believe the science of the times. I mean, it's all from Galen and Hippocrates, and really, there was no from Moshe, Hashem didn't tell Moshe anything about the time of death. I mean, why are we always looking back in the Mishnah and trying to say this, that, is that? Who's the Mishnah? We can why can't we just say the Mishnah was clearly using Galen and Hippocrates, and therefore any comments is going to say, you know, it doesn't matter. They're using their science of the times.
You know. Many times we have a machlokes. Is it the rice? Is it the rabbanon?
Yeah.
Therefore, what do you look for? No. Come on, this is basic of our emunah. Look for pasuk. Hashayipar babo nishmer zchur chayim. That's how the Gemara does it. So the Gemara in Yom Pehei, so I was worried about how do you know what is the masorah on it? Masorah is hashayipar babo nishmer zchur chayim. What does Rashi say? I'll give you. I think I better give you a copy of that already. What does Rashi say? Imu shochev kemes she'enu mezes evov lodas esemes, to know the truth, right? You see, botkin es ba'apov, and you see if there's ruach ba'apov or not. What's he telling you? That's the Masorah from the pasuk. Ruach Ba'apov Nishmer Ruach Chaim says he's dead if he has no what? He has no motion. He says no. Shochev Kemes Ein Amezes Evov. He could be in coma. He could be asleep. Right? He could be paralyzed. He had a stroke. But air is coming out of his nostrils. The Chevra Kadisha pulls out their feather and holds it to the nose, and the feather moves, he's alive. He's not moving, irrelevant. The feather doesn't move, and he doesn't move. You need two things not to move. He shouldn't move, and the feather shouldn't move. Right? That's why the idiocy of saying a fellow who has suffered a polio attack and now has to live in an iron lung. He can't breathe one breath on his own. But he moves his hands and his feet, he eats. He eats, right? Or nowadays, he walks around. We don't use an iron lung anymore. Once upon a time, a fellow had a polio attack, he had iron lung to give him artificial respiration continuously. Nowadays, they implant two electrodes in the diaphragm, he carries a battery. As long as the battery doesn't run out, he's fine. So he's dead, because there's no Ruach Chaim Beyapo independent of that battery. It's nonsense. He's walking, talking, he's getting married, having children. What are you talking about being dead? That is, that's what Rashi, without Rashi, you can't know what Kodesh Baruch Hu says. So Rashi says, double portion. That's his Kabbalah, no one argues, right? Im u'shochev kimes, she'eno meizez evo. Then, now I got a real suffering. It looks like he died. Could be he's dead. How do you know? Right, so you do whatever you do. If he was a shikur, you open up a bottle of scotch and hold it next to him. Right? If he's a banker, you jiggle some coins. Right? Test whether he'll move or not. So in medicine, we test all kinds of terrible things we do to him. Right? You shine a light in his eyes and the pupils don't move. The pupils sort of contract. You take a needle and you stick him. You take a broomstick and push it down his throat. And he doesn't respond, doesn't gag, doesn't do nothing. So you say, it could be he's dead. That's the only reason why he wouldn't respond. But make sure. So take a feather, hold it to his nose. The whole thing is so beautiful. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't leave us uninstructed. Told us how to handle life and death.
And a drasha like that is the instructions of Hashem? Or maybe it's just they're one in reverse engineering their knowledge about the human body into the
Tuvi, use up the time. It's okay. even in Congress, they give you time. Don't allow for a filibuster. Okay. Right. Let's go. You're coming Shabbos. Your father's a doctor. Ask him all those questions. He knows everything. Everything I taught him. Right. All right. Now, so let's go back to what is the key to the Havodah here. Again, the sense of privacy, the sense of Rosh HaYochid. Therefore, what does Rav Shimon hold? Look at Rav Shimon. Yisnan Rav Shimon Omer, nu. I thought you were saying the Gemara.
Rav Shimon Omer, Echad Gagot, whether it's by roofs or by karpifot, which we said were private property not used for inhabitation. Echad Chatzirot.
like an animal, a non-domesticated private property, meaning okay. Not done for, not the place where, for diro.
We said like a pumpkin field.
Like, yeah. Well,
something that it's privately owned, but people don't generally go through.
Right.
The chad chatzerot, whether it be the yards outside the houses, kulan reshut echad hen, they are all one domain.
The kelim sheshavse besochan. Why? Because there's no sense of private property there. That's a communal property. The kelim were in the communal property. Therefore, I'm not moving it from any rishus that has a greater sense of privacy to rishus with lesser sense of privacy. That's what we're mimicking rishus hayochet to rishus harabim. Came the rabbon and said, does not be rishus harabim. Has to be a non-Rishus HaYochid, it is also, we'll make it Zera, Otu Rishus HaRabim. But below doesn't apply to Kalim Sheshosim So Chabayis. If you went ahead and you took out Be'isur, you took out something from your house, you took out a lawn chair from your chotzer, which had a mechitza around it, and you moved it into the mavui, at that point, you can't move that chair at all. Then it's like a rishus harabim, and you're not allowed to move it, period. And if you move it more than dalet amos, right, if it was rishus harabim, you'd be chayiv a chatos. The rabbanan, they asked it, the rabbanan.
Ba'amine, Rabbi Zera, Merav Asi, Avoy Shelo Nishtatfu Bo, Ma'u. Rabbi Zera asked of Rabbi Asi, speaking of a Mavoy, that they didn't put an Eruv around the Mavoy, what is it permissible to carry in it, Bichulo, throughout the just a Mavoy? Mi Amrinan Kichatzer Dami? Do we hold that it's like a Chatzer? Ma Chatzer Afal Gav De Lo Arvu Mutar Letatel Bichulo? That just as with Chatzer, even if there's no, even if they didn't put an Eruv, you're allowed to carry throughout the Chatzer. Hainami afal gav de lo nishtatfu bo mutar letaltel b'chulo. That also with a mavoy, that would be likewise that even without a...
Here we need Rashi. Okay. Mi amin, what they make kechotzer dami? Ma chotzer even no lo irvu mutar letaltel b'chulo. What does it mean? Chotzer lo irvu. It's your chotzer, and the lawn chair was out in the chotzer. There's no problem moving that lawn chair around in the chutzah. Doesn't need an Erev to move around the chutzah. I need an Erev to move it from the house into the chutzah. But if it's out in the chutzah, I can move it around. So therefore, Mavoy also you can move around. Right? Honame afagav delo nishtatfu bo mutar tata bakulu. O dilma lo domi the chutzah. Why? Because chotzer still has a sense of privacy. Issa dalad mechitzos. Therefore, when I move it back and forth into a chotzer, in a chotzer, no one's going to make the mistake and think, well, I can do the same thing in a Rosh Hashanah. Because the mechitzos, right, they're mochich aleihem. They make it clear that you're dealing in your private property. But a mavoi, right, high lesser dal mechitzos. A mavoi doesn't have dal mechitzos. A mavoi most has either two or three mechitzos. Most mavoi, if it's a mavoi mefulosh, it has two mechitzos. If it's a mavoi ain't a mefulosh, one piece is cut off. One piece has mechitzos. It's a peninsula. Right? It's covered on three sides.
Inami,
or again, see what you get, not that the hagdom I gave you about this psychological sense of privacy, you can't understand. Inami, when it comes to sense of privacy, my chotzer is me. I know it's me in my house. Chotzer is the diurin, right? People live there. In the Movi, you don't live in the Movi. You pass in the Movi. So maybe for the chotzer, I have no problem moving around in the chotzer because it's clearly in my mind my private area. But mavoi is not in your mind your private area because you have 20 other people using the mavoi. Right? Therefore, even though it's takenat rishus harabim, right? Nevertheless, it is a diminished sense of privacy. Therefore, Rabbanan will worry about it.
Today, for example, in Muncie, where houses actually have backyards, if it's demarcated as a backyard, then it would count as Rosh Hashanah from the house?
Otherwise, you have to make a Tzuras HaPesach, of course.
But, I mean, even if there were just trees going around, that would be, would that be enough for
Tzuras HaPesach? What a mechitza is, what an eruv, that's separate, how you make. Like I told you, it's not hard to make an eruv. There are times when I've come to a conference, a weekend conference, there OU, the shul, and so on, and coming Friday afternoon, there's no mechitza, there's no eruv around any place. Yeah, and you know the people will be very discomforted. They come to the so-called for a weekend of learning, but they go for a weekend of walking in the woods and so on. Right? So you got to give them usually within within 2-3 hours you can get up an aluf, no problem. As long as you have a big ball of cord, whenever I go to a place like that, I always carry with me a spool of fishing line. It has 1,000 feet, right? And you can do a lot with a nice nylon fishing line. Doesn't much. You get anything that you can knock it to. Usually in wooded areas, you have woods. I told you where you have trees, where you can find a fork in the road, a fork in the tree, and then this becomes the lechi, this becomes the kova, no problem. Remember, lechi has to be al gabov. Right? If it's not a fork there, just start, you want to attach the fishing line to the side, knock on the side of the tree. Doesn't go, has to be at the top of the tree. Therefore, you find a branch, a forked branch, that gives you a lechi with a korah al gabah. That's a simple fact that facilitates making native almost any wooded area. Most communities today who have an eruv, it's interesting, the ones who make the eruv, it's a pretty much a monopoly. There's one goyish company that almost everybody uses, who are very knowledgeable. They use plastic molding along the side of a tree or a house or something. Plastic molding, and they don't play games since they have the equipment. They have this, what's it called? The chair that goes up and down.
Crane?
Like a crane. Chair. Yeah, they can get it up there. So we have to worry about putting up a cola or wire on top, and then getting the lechi directly underneath it if you're using a telephone pole, which is most commonly used in communities. So you knock up a wire on top or a fishing line on top, and you got to get a lechi directly underneath it. Takes a little bit of adjusting. They have no problem. They just run the lechi up to the wire. Plastic molding there, dark colored. It doesn't attract much attention from the anti-Semites in town to pull it off. It's a quick, effective method for making a moving node. So I made in Muncie originally. No, we used a telephone pole, right? Ran a wire, and then we put a four foot 2x4 attached onto the thing. So it was visible. It's a mile of being visible to know where the eruv ends and so on. But the defect in that system is that someone who needs a 2x4 goes out and takes it off from your eruv. So that's the idea of using something which isn't so usable when you steal it is very useful. Using this plastic molding, which has almost no utility for anything else, makes it a very, very effective method to make a ruven out. Okay. So what do you say? Odim odom etchasi yisadal mechitzos. He didn't answer the shayla. What's the shayla again? Can you in a chotzer, can you in a movui, right? There, where it's a movui, shalom nishtatfu, meaning it's looked upon as separate ownerships. If nishtatfu, I remember we explained to you, once you make an eruv, chatzeros, then all become one family. So as if there's only one owner. Okay. But if shalom nishtatfu, no, Zimnin Ashkachei the Yosef Ka'omar, but she didn't answer him. Then he found the what? Came to our Gemara. He told a story about this famous Shaila, right? The Shaila about the Moel who forgot his knife, right? And what they did. They went ahead and they delivered it Derech Dagos of Kafifim, right? In accord with the ruling of Rav Shimon. So, Amar Hashem Melokim Shurav Yudha Nossi Pamachas Nu
Pamachat Shachu Velo Hiviu Izmal Merav Shabbat. The Hiviu B'Shabbat. So, we have the case the one time they forgot and they brought it on Shabbat.
This is how the story goes about. When he gave a story that's carried from mouth to mouth, it doesn't always come out accurate in the end. So they only heard about the story was what? They review b'Shabbos, right? They brought a Shabbos. And which would say, so plain Shabbos would mean they violated the Shabbos because they hold a Kabbalah Yozo that machshiri milo docha Shabbos. That while you kosher adova kosher chachamim.
How could they go against the psak of the Chachamim and go with Rabbi?
That machshiri milo docha Shabbos. That's what we're assuming. First of all, Rabbi Eliezer was shmutihu. Tupshotim shmutihu.
Excommunicated or of Beit Shammai.
Either he was in Cherem, right, for the Tanor Shalachnoi battle. You remember that one? You all know that one? Rabbi Eliezer, a famous guy, that one you have to know, one of the critical theological agadatis there. The best way to understand that, Tanor Shalachnoi, what's called Tanor Shalachnoi, the snake, the snake oven. So why it's called Achnoi? Because they wrapped Rabbi Eliezer around like a snake. We wrap around the individual, squeezing him. He should be moda that he's wrong. What was the case? It was an oven like our pizza ovens, where it had several compartments. And the halacha is, it was a kli cheres that became tomei. And they wanted to get rid of the tumah, so they broke it. Kli cheres yishoveh, that gets rid of the tumah. But how do they break it? They broke it in a way where each compartment, though, remained functional. As the oven was, is no longer... As now it's no longer as it was. It had three compartments, now it has three little compartments lying on the ground. So I broke the oven. So Rabbi Eliezer said, the oven is kosher. Now you can use it, it's no longer tummy. Once you break it, it loses its tumor. And Rabbi Nanaga, no, it's still functional, still utilitarian. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't agree. He was sure he was right. In the famous Gemara, you remember, he said, if I am right, let the walls of the Mesbedosh testify. And the walls of the Mesbedosh began to collapse. Amad Rabbi Yeshua, Ragla, Rabbi Yeshua got up and said, mind your own business. Why are you mixing it? Then he said, let the tree outside be uprooted if I'm right. And the tree was uprooted. Rabbi Yeshua got upset. What does the tree know about halacha? The tree agrees with you. You and the tree don't make it any smarter. Finally, water should run uphill. Finally, Rabbi Elazar, in desperation, said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you say, Yotza Basko Vomar, Halocha K'Rabbi Elazar, B'chol Mokom. Omar Darshu Araglo Vomar, Lo Bashamayim Hi. Otherwise, any ventriloquist could change the Torah. You gave us a Torah, and this is an important musavot, I guess it should spend an extra minute on it. You gave us a Torah to understand with our mind. That's all you got for the Rebbeinu Shalom. We do our homework, we masmidim, we did the best we could, we don't see it your way. That's why my Shreel Zatzal has in his Hagdama, Tikkos Moshe, a beautiful interpretation of another medrash, the famous medrash of Masechet Shabbos, that when Moshe Olah Lamorom, he found Kodesh Baruch Hu, he was Kosev Ksorim Leosios, putting the wiggles on the oceans of the Torah. And the Shreel explained, why would he do with the wiggles? Why do you want to do that? She has a beautiful, really beautiful insight. He said that Kadosh Baruch Hu was putting crowns on the osios to say that the osios now they are divine. I transferred Malchus from my crown to the osios. Lo bashamayim hi. Whatever you want to know, don't ask me. I don't have anything to tell you. You have to look at my Torah and figure it out yourself. Right. The words of the Torah, they now were granted kingship over the world. Therefore, look at them. That's what Rabbi Yeshua said. I look in the Torah, it ain't what Rabbi Elazar said. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you agree with Rabbi Elazar? Is still not in the Torah. The Torah takes precedent over what Rabbi Kodesh Baruch Hu said. Unbelievable Gemara. Critical in our theology. And the Gemara ends up very beautifully. Pogab Elio, they met Elio. The Rabbi says, Ma'osa Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's God doing now? He had a tough day, right? He told him, Halach Rabbi Elazar, I'm sure he said, Lo Bashamayim Hi. Famous line, Yoshev u'metzachek. God is sitting and laughing. Nitzchuni bonai, nitzchuni bonai. My children were victorious over me. They beat me. So the trap is, I tested them, and they didn't fail the test. I tried with a basko to change the Torah, right? And they learned the lesson. You can't change the Torah. Torah zeh lo teimo lefes, period. Very critical. This is the kind of Gemara you people should be taught in kindergarten.
This Gemara is also very big by the conservative movement.
Yeah? What do they do with it?
They say, look, it's given to us to interpret, so we say you can drive on Shabbat because it's not actually...
How do you do that one? That's already.
They say time. I knew someone who was learning to be a conservative rabbi.
All it means is they listen to a basko. Right, since they have female rabbis, they have a basko. Okay, let's go.
The Rabbi Elazar Shamuti Hu. The Od, so that was
the one
point.
You taking notes on all this?
The Basco.
Okay.
The Od, Yachid v'Rabim, Halacha k'Rabim. So the Chachamim were very disturbed by this. That one, how could they go according to the Halacha of Rabbi Eliezer? And two, that in a case where there is a dispute between a Yachid and Rabim, Halacha goes by Rabim, and here they had gone according to the Yachid. Ve'amar Rav Oshia, she'ilit et Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Oshia came and said, I asked Rabbi Yehuda, a gozer.
Who's Rabbi Yehuda Gozer?
He was a moel.
What's Gerud HaGoizo?
The little cutter.
Yeah, the Yankee Clipper. It's a beautiful sefer, Yaakov HaGoizo. Maybe a Rishon. Yaakov was a sefer Amila. I own that sefer. Very useful sefer. But obviously that was a title that was used in those days. The Clipper. Right? HaGoizo. Right?
ואמר לי מבוי שלא נשתתפו בו, הווה, ו...
Oh, here's the case. Suddenly, remember, this was a famous case. We're talking about it. So now, what are the facts of the case? It's good to know the facts of the case before you yell about what the halacha is. Right. So now I'll tell you what the facts of the case were. Right. Mavoi shelo nishtatfu bo, hava.
Ve'aitu mehai reisha lehai reisha.
And the baby, the bris was being held in the east end of the Mavui, right? And the chalef was left in the west end of the Mavui.
Is this saying that they were in the Mavui itself?
In the Mavui itself.
But how'd the baby get out?
Okay, I'll tell you a quick story. Shabbos, I became a great-grandfather and a great-grand-uncle. A grandson, Yitzchak Rivki's, had a little boy and had a little girl on Shabbos. And my brother-in-law, Reuven Feinstein, his son, Avi, his wife had a little boy on Shabbos. But she didn't leave for the hospital quick enough, because Shabbos, they catch around, maybe last. So on the way, finally she felt she had to go to the hospital. On the way down the steps, the baby fell out. They caught the baby, called the police, and the baby came like 10, 15 minutes later to cut the cord. They didn't know what to do. Okay. So that's the case over here. The baby fell out in the mother.
8 days ago.
I'm telling you, it can happen. Baby was in the Mavui, right? Mavui, nice warm night. Baby sleep outside in the Mavui, no problem. You kids don't remember. I still remember the days where we didn't have air conditioning. And to get a nice hot summer night, you go out, you sleep outside the house. Okay.
Seems like a very big limitation on this entire Gemara. The Gemara should mention it, no?
The what?
It's a little strange that the Gemara doesn't mention that this entire discussion. Only
give me the key halachic facts.
The baby's in the Mavui.
The baby was in the Mavui. Period.
The
okay. She gave birth in the Mavui. She had him out in the Mavui. No problem. Or they took him out in the Mavui B'Yisrael. So what? It's irrelevant. We're talking about the mother with his knife, not the mother with the baby.
Maybe you're allowed to bring it into the Rishon Zayachar.
Maybe what?
Maybe if the knife starts in a mother, it's able to go into the Rishon Zayachar. If the knife starts on the Gog, it's able to go into the Rishon Zayachar then. I'm saying it seems like a very big chiddush to limit this entire Gemara to when the baby's on the roof. So maybe it's wrong. Maybe we could bring the knife even to the Rishon Zayachar.
We're not talking about the baby. We're talking about a knife. We got to solve the knife. How the baby got into the movie is none of your damn business.
Okay.
He's in the movie. Next. No.
Okay. Amar le.
And what they do? Right. He's the mile. He was the guy who left the knife, right? And therefore what? Vaisi mehai reisha lehai reisha. Right? Amar le,
Rav Zera said to Rav
Ashi. Shirali lamar, movu shal nishtatu muta v'tal v'kulu. Why? Again, think back where we started some time ago. There's no sense of privacy in a mavli. There's no sense of moving from one private area to a less private area. It's one mavli. Therefore, you can move in the mavli. The Rabbanan didn't make a gzeira. Otu rishus harabim. Omalei, here's a very nice line. Hozimnin boy minoch omatli. I asked you that shayla many times. Can you carry in a movi shalon ishtatfu? They didn't make a neir of rubi chatzeros, a rubi shtufi mibos. You can make in a movi, it could be the same thing. You put up a challah with everybody, right? Then it becomes one rishus, fine. Then everybody can carry, no problem. But we're talking about, didn't. So I asked you, if it's a Moish zone is tattoo, can you carry it there? He never answered me. I mean, you weren't sure, you didn't want to answer me. Right? He didn't tell me so, that it's mutu. Dilma, no. How do you learn that? Agab shitvech rohitloch gemoroch. No, how'd you interpret that?
That on by way of your telling over the story and the flow of things came back to you.
Wow.
Dilma, perhaps agav shitvich, that while you were flowing, when you were telling the story about Reish Lakish, you recalled what the psak was.
Right. It's a good musa also, and it's a true thing. If you're learning Gemara and you also be Mishnah, so and you're involved in learning, right? One bit of learning doesn't displace other learning. No such thing. The fact remains that there are common denominators in our learning. We don't always recognize them, but the mind does. And there is therefore what's referred to in psychology, a stream of consciousness. We become conscious unconsciously, right, of relationships. That's what he said to him. Maybe because you were learning the sugya, right, and therefore, even though you weren't learning this halacha, therefore this halacha suddenly popped into your mind and you knew how to paskin. Right? Amalei in. Yes, you're quite right. That's what happened. I was learning the sugya, and I remembered I learned from my Rebbe the halacha of Raboshia. But
Itmar, I'm
going to finish this off a little bit. Well, I mean, boys, we got to move a little faster. But you people got a feel already for this. So that's the key. Itmar, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi, Amar Av, Mobi Shon Shatubo, Ein Metalton, Bo Ele Badal Ramos. Okay, now we come to a complicated sugya. We'll stop here. 2:30, don't pay you for overtime here, so. Okay, let's have a minute.